Welcome to the Lord's Day on June 21st, 2020. Today's text covers scripture selections from the Exodus 12:13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. 7:20. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord has commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials, and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. 8:6. Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of the Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. 8:16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt the dust will become gnats." 8:24. And the Lord did this. Then swarms of the flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the houses of his officials. And throughout Egypt, the land was ruined by the flies. 9:3. The hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field. 9:10. So Moses tossed the soot from a furnace into the air, and festering boils broke out all men and animals. 9:25. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. 10:4. If you refuse to let him go, I will bring locusts into your country tomorrow. 10:20. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered for 3 days. 12:12. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and struck down every firstborn, both men and animals. Amen. As a whole of mankind, we live in a most unprecedented era in human history. Never have we realized how closely knit we are, but at the same time, this proud achievement, supposedly a blessing by technology, has wrecked the basic conditions of man to function and live. We are forced to imagine the world and life in the absence of physical proximity and body contact. Facing this life situation at hand, we look for the wisdom in the biblical account of a Passover from the book of Exodus. For the incident had taken place so far apart from the current COVID-19 of the 21st century, but I believe in this God who created and engaged with the world and people in it by the word of his everlasting covenant, revealed in the Bible of Old and New Testament. By the light of his spirit, I think we should be able to make a Christian sense out of our current plight and to come to the way that is Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Spirit-empowered. The wisdom we garner, I pray, will enable us to choose the way, strengthening the God-given covenant community, the church, and the family. Throughout the trilogy of a Red series, we'll follow the tracks of a rat, firstly from the river of a red blood, and to the rest 10 plagues, to the final plague of a killing of the firstborn, leading up to the Passover event. Secondly, the house of a rat by the smear of the blood of a rat at the doorpost during the Passover. Thirdly, on the last of the trilogy series is that we will travel together with the former slaves after the Passover at the crossing of Red Sea. Considering the impact of just one strain of virus currently over the world, how disruptive and fearful it must have been for both Egyptians and Israelites together to endure not just one, but 10 successive plagues. From the river of red message, we will see how God actively engages with both realms of the world in his covenant creations. Today we will see signature signs of covenant God in the natural world. And next Sunday, God's signature signs by his dealing with the covenant people. First, hands of God. Second, words of God. Third, works of God. First, hands of God. Stretching out the hand is the sign of influence over the directed sphere. It is to show that the God of covenant is not an absentee Lord. He engages in the day-to-day operation diligently in the world. 8 out of 10 plagues, God had asked either Moses or Aaron to stretch the staff or hand out. First, over the waters of Egypt for the plague, blood. Second, stretch out the hand with the staff over the waterways for the plagues of frogs. Third, Moses met up with Pharaoh on his way to the water for the plagues of flies that comes out from the water. Fourth, Aaron stretched their staff and struck the soil in the ground for the plagues of gnats. Fifth, Moses tossed the soot in the air. Sixth, Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky for the plague of hails. Seventh, Moses stretched out the hand over Egypt for the plague of locusts. Eighth, Moses stretched out the hand toward the sky so the darkness spread over Egypt. However, when the plagues involved with the life itself, whether it being the Egyptian livestock of the fifth plague or the life of the firstborn of people and animals, the tenth and final plagues, Moses delivered the word. It was the Lord God himself to carry the plagues. Because life is too sacred, God as a life giver can only have the authority to take the life away from it. So it doesn't require for the Moses or Aaron to use his staff or his hand. It is directly from God. This meticulous and careful planning over at a glance simple hand gestures shows how much God cares for his creation and personally invests in how it runs, executing the plan by his purpose over all four of his created realms, water, land, sky, and life. The word man actually means hand, from which the word like manure, manner, manufacture all come from, the root word man, hand. So you know, in a way, the Christians are the messenger of God to represent this covenant God to the world, and my hand is a symbol and tool to exert God's creative order and his gracious saving work in the world. We also need to cultivate the ability to discern the hands of God in our life, in the midst of our community and society, and respond accordingly to it. Second, words of God is the reason over works of God with varying expressions. We have a tendency being carried away by the forms and manifestation of God's works, like frogs, gnats, and locusts, diseases, and boils. And not enough attention is given to the will of God himself, the word of God. I mean, the core of plagues is located in the words of God, the intent and the purpose why God brings these plagues. Firstly, God says the works of God with the plagues is to make the people of God, to make the people of God to know who this I am God is. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and following says, "Therefore say to the Israelites," it is even before he started out the 10 plagues, He said to Moses, I am the Lord, and I'll bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I'll free you from being slaves to them, and I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm. He already suggested that his outstretched arm, so it is to carried out by Moses and Aaron, and with a mighty act of judgment. I'll take you as my own people. I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord, Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of under the yoke of the Egypt. Works of God is also given to make the people of the world. Not the people of God, but also it includes the people of the world to know that who this I am God is. So it is all involving. Exodus chapter 7 verse 5 says, And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, Yahweh, when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. 9:6, I have raised you up. He is talking to Pharaoh through Moses. I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Facing varying degree of hardship, which side of purpose are you in? Please align yourself with this God who works to free you from the bondage to this world, its lifestyle and system. Do not set yourself against this God. Become the object of his judgment. Secondly, God says the reason that God with the plagues is to make the people to realize the gracious and merciful nature of I am God. So first, the purpose of the works is that to let the people know who God is. And the second purpose of the God's work is that to let the people know, particularly the people of Israelites, the people of covenant, God's covenant people, that how merciful and the graceful God's treatment has been toward them, for them. The people of God has a preferential treatment, not because of any merit on their part, but because of the mere fact that they happen to be the people of God, and that their ancestors has cut the covenant with the God. 8:22, it says, But on that day I will deal differently with the land of Cushan, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this world. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. 9:6, all the livestock of the Egyptians died, but no one animal belonging to the Israelites died. 9:6, the only place that it did not hail was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. 10:23, no one could see anyone else or leave the place for 3 days, yet all the Israelites had the light in the places where they lived. Lastly, the works of God by plagues is to show to the world and to the people of Israel, the God's people, that God is in control, not man, or not any, looks like having a power, authority. Plagues are given to save the people of God, also breaking off the strong grip of this world system and powers over God's people. Plagues firstly show asymmetry between the cause and its effect. It's almost comical that God's choice of weapons are the tiny subjects like frogs, gnats, flies, and locusts, and the boils. But like a COVID-19 virus, this tiny one exercised a force to put the most powerful empire of the pyramid building stand still. One of the distinctive features in Genesis' account of God's creation is to set the boundary, to separate between the entities and their realms. But the moment God let loose the boundary frogs, flies, gnats, and locusts left their natural habits and invaded in random, how feeble has the foundation for their way of life become? So if God let loose of one fly and that caused this much havoc, how much more so if God begin to let loose of other more bigger object and component? It is suggesting that direction, and it is suggesting they repent and listen to God. Secondly, plagues also show the vulnerable nature of their political and economic system built upon the past experiences and data. God loosens the control of his measure over the rain and the stony size of killer hailstones pours down from heaven instead of a shower of rain. When the proud Nile River, undrinkable, turns blood like a red tide, and there is a pitch dark cloud overcast for days, the old tried and usual coping strategy based upon from the past experience and drawn from that collective wisdom don't matter. It became irrelevant. It breaks all the perception on the norm and established by the averaging of the past experiences. How would you handle it? It is to show that you are not the owner or authority and control and center. God is the center. He is the epicenter. So you better listen to his word and the warnings and turn your face toward him in humble reliance. But lastly, we have a hope because we have a restful heart and peace of mind when we realize that ultimately it is to result in God's breaking the idols in the world and to set us free from our enslavement under this worldly system and values. Think about it, how these 10 plagues started out from the river rat and ends with the house of rat. And both red is to signify the blood of Jesus Christ, and that he has covered the first blood through his body. If it were not for even the Pharaohs, even the Egyptians, even the Israelites were not there to be left. So God has created a system. It's almost like five of the plagues is shared together with the Egyptians and of Israelites. But the five of the plagues is just for the focus on the Egyptians and not with the Israelites of the Goshen land. So it is to show that God's mercy is continuously worked undergirding in spite of this tribulation and trials and sufferings. For chapter 12, verse 12, the conclusion that God says, I am bringing judgment on all the gods of Egypt. Fearsome the plagues may present to you, and worrisome your situation may be health-wise, business-wise, finance-wise, but rest assured, because one thing is for certain, of the final destination where God leads to, Exodus chapter 6, verse 8, is the end outcome in God's providence. He promised to the scared people, Israelites, and holds the same set of covenant promise to us. And I will bring you to the land, I will swear with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, I'll give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Remember, Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob's descendants. He has fulfilled what God has promised for us to acquire this inheritance. And our job is to respond humbly to his requests. Be freed from the Egyptian systems and enter into the wilderness to his mountain Horeb. to worship Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your merciful dealings with us, that you continuously give us the opportunity to repent from the turn our life around, chasing after Egyptian values and these worldly systems, and turn towards you, listen to your word, and no more of enslavement to this world, but become a servant for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom that Jesus Christ is our Father, Savior, brother, and our Lord. And He has called us to join His army and to the promised land. Help us to make the first step today with our family, with our church. May the mercy of Father God, love of Jesus Christ, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit upon us as we embark on this new chapter, new journey of our life together as a church, as a family, as a community, to follow our Master, our Lord, Jesus Christ, toward His promised land and inheritance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.